This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com. Welcome to Dishy Mix. I'm your host, Susan Bratton. And on today's show, you're going to get to meet somebody that I have really enjoyed getting to know myself in preparation for you today. His name is Penny Ginowish. And Penny is a founder of a really neat and fun website called ice.com. He has distinguished himself as one of the top 200 online retailers, and he's really an expert in all things online marketing, from search and email to persona marketing to managing fraud and site design to blogs and what Penny would probably say is most important, which is customer retention. So we're going to get to talk to him a little bit about how he founded and turned ice.com into one of the top 200 online retailers, which landed him a board seat on the shop.org advisory board. We're also going to learn the alter ego side of Penny, which is Rabbi Penny. And we're going to find out about how this man runs such a successful multi-million dollar company while simultaneously producing a Broadway play and a children's movie and writing a book about flow. He's also a chaplain for the Boy Scouts of America and does an amazing amount of philanthropic work. On today's show, some of the things we're hoping to cover are Penny's universal truths, rollerblading, yoga, if there's economy of scale in the category of children, a little bit about Beyonce, whether chicken soup can serve as bribe material, what it's like to be a rabbi in far-flung communities, how to tap our native creativity. Of course, we're going to talk about diamonds and jewelry, because whether you're going to buy it for yourself or you're going to buy it for your lover, you need to know the inside scoop on that. I hope we'll get into what Jewish law is. We'll talk a little about Montreal, and maybe we'll get to mastering patience and selling tactics for long lead deals, something Penny knows a lot about.
One day we were sitting around and someone opens up Sotheby's catalog, and there was this huge, you know, piece of jewelry for like $1.6 million. And one of the women goes, "Wow, check out that ice." And we said, "We got to get that URL." I think all great stories have a dark period, you know, where the hero of the story needs to find himself. You know, that's every great Hollywood movie starts out that way and ends out, you know, where he finds himself and he's successful at the end. So I think we're hopefully writing a great Hollywood story. Tennis bracelets. We sell tons and tons of tennis bracelets, and they're very affordable. They're not expensive, and they're diamonds, and you're always going to get off the couch with a tennis bracelet. I have countless stories where parents come up to me and say, you know, we cherish this shofar because every year, you know, we're not so religious, but when Rosh Hashanah comes, when the new year comes, we take it down from the shelf and we blow it because our kid is so excited about the holiday now, and it's only because he made his own shofar. And I do 10 programs like this through the year that inspire the kids because they were personally involved. Well, the most important one that I follow, or I'm trying to follow, and that I battle with every day is commitment. And today, kids, unfortunately, are not taught enough about being committed to anything.
Please welcome to Dishy Mix, Penny Ginowish.
Hello.
Hey, Penny, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Very well. So you're in your home office in Montreal.
I am.
Excellent. So let us just hear a little bit about ice.com. For those people who haven't ever been to your site, just tell us a little bit about the business that you're in.
We're in the business of empowering women to appreciate themselves.
Nice. I like that.
That's what we're doing. So instead of going out there and buying yourself a tub of ice cream when you're down or when you're not feeling appreciated, go out and buy yourself a piece of jewelry. And we've made it so affordable that it's a no-brainer. So if you have an outfit you want to accessorize, just go out there and buy yourself a nice pair of earrings and you know, you're feeling better already.
You know, I was on ice.com really checking out a lot of the product, and I typically am kind of fussy about my jewelry, don't see a lot of things I liked, but man, I was really impressed. You know, I pride myself on being kind of an up-to-date person with regard to the clothes and jewelry I wear, and I was really impressed with how modern and clean and attractive the designs are. Who does that work for you?
Well, thank God, the person that brought me into this world, my beautiful mother, is a great jewelry designer, and she has an eye for pieces that are just going to fly off the shelves. And she started her business, I'm the youngest of six children, and she started her business right after I left home to go to school about 35 years ago. And she decided in the basement of her house to start a jewelry business. She started selling pearls, and it grew, and today she's one of the largest jewelry manufacturers in Canada. So when we saw this, you know, her success, and we were so excited about what was going on the net, we decided, you know, we're going to take her stuff and we're going to try to sell it to the consumer directly. And 7 years later, we have a great company, thank God.
You started ice.com in 1999. What was it that made you pick ice? How did you get the URL? Was it easy at the time? Do you still feel like that's a major coup?
It is definitely a major. When we were actually got investment from a company called Idealab, which is an incubator in Pasadena, California.
Really?
They had some great successes, eToys, Cars Direct.
Overture.
Overture, exactly. So they're a pretty big company, and they were our first investment. But at the time, they were a little bit cocky, and like many people in the web sphere at that time, you know, the whole thing ballooned into something crazy, and we were, you know, it was all about eyeballs. ROI didn't mean anything. So they, one day we were sitting around, and someone opens up Sotheby's catalog, and there was this huge, you know, piece of jewelry for like $1.6 million, and one of the women goes, "Wow, check out that ice." And we said, "We got to get that URL."
Mm-hmm.
So we went out there and we bought it, and at the time it seemed like a lot of money, but you know, if you think about everywhere you go, everybody's like, "Oh, you work for ice.com. That is such a cool name." And if you amortize that on the times that people said how cool it is, you know, it's pennies how much we paid for it.
So what did you pay for it?
We paid about $800,000 for it.
Not bad. Okay. And how long did you, from when you started the company, how long did it take you to break even and pay back your investors?
Well, we went through the bubble, and we had some money, and then we went into debt, and we bought back the company from our investors.
Mm-hmm.
Because their vision was to close us down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So
now they wish they hadn't.
We bought ourselves back for a dollar. We moved back to Canada, and we restarted our business.
Really? What year was that?
This was 2000.
Okay.
So we went flying way. It was like a roller coaster, but you know how on roller coasters you have, they go up slowly?
Mm-hmm.
We went up very fast, and then we went down very fast.
Even faster, right?
Yeah, even faster. So then we had to go up again, and we're continuously going up and growing over 40% year over year.
Well, I met you through ad tech. You've come and you've been a speaker at ad tech on all these various different things that you've learned over time running ice.com and marketing the product. And I guess I was always under the impression that you were wildly successful through the whole thing. I didn't realize that you bought your business back and all of those kinds of things. So I actually really like hearing that story, and I gained a lot more appreciation for you because I thought, oh, you had ice.com, you had this great idea, it was all easy.
Yeah, wow.
Apparently not.
Apparently not. I think all great stories have a dark period, you know, where the hero of the story needs to find himself.
Yeah.
You know, that's every great Hollywood movie starts out that way and ends out, you know, where he finds himself and he's successful at the end. So I think we're hopefully writing a great Hollywood story.
Well, I think you have been professionally successful and you've found yourself and you're running a really good enterprise now. I want to also talk to you about some of the things you're doing in your own personal life to find yourself and what's important. But before we do that, I want to keep on the jewelry thread for just a second because we have a jewelry expert on the show and holidays are coming. Whether you're a woman listening to the show and you're thinking, you know what, Bratton likes that stuff too. I'm going to go check out ice.com and see the beautiful, I like the earrings. I like some of the more modern jewelry that you're creating. You know, am I going to buy a diamond for myself? Probably not. That's my husband's job, right? But I love some of the beautiful jewelry with the gemstones that you create. Then there are my listeners who are men and they're thinking, I have to get my lover, my wife, my SO, something beautiful for the holidays. What are Penny's picks?
Well, stars are a big thing now. Star pendants, beautiful star pendants we have, diamond star pendants, they're going to definitely fly off the shelf. If you want to be safe, an initial pendant, diamond pendant, is always great because you can't go wrong with that. It's perfect. You get the person's name. It's personal. You thought about them. It wasn't just a purchase. And you can't go wrong. You know, men, big problem that men have with buying jewelry is, especially that they can't feel it, is, you know, will she like it? And the rejection a lot of times is so painful that you don't, you know, you associate the pain with the item you're buying because you weren't successful. And if you're doing it online, people are going to be very careful about that. So you want to stay safe. You want to stay diamond studs. You want to stay eternity bands. You want to tennis bracelets. We sell tons and tons of tennis bracelets, and they're very affordable. They're not expensive, and they're diamonds, and you're always going to get off the couch with a tennis bracelet.
Nice. Go ahead. Anything else?
And then we have some great designers, you know. So if a woman wants to buy for a friend a piece of jewelry, there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, we just launched Andrea Barna, her collection on our site, and it's just beautiful modern stuff. She's featured in Style Magazine all the time. We're launching designers all, you know, it's just some beautiful, beautiful stuff. And there's nothing wrong with buying yourself a nice Christmas gift. You know, you're going out there, you're working hard, you're preparing all the food, you're packing all the packages, your kids are running around, you're doing all the work. You can go on one night after a long day's work, just buy yourself a present. Because you deserve it.
I really like that Andrea Barnes stuff. I wasn't familiar with her. I don't read in style, so I hadn't seen that before. But I could definitely, the price points that you are able to sell for are so low for the quality of the product. Is it because it's Canadian?
No, it's because we took out one piece of the puzzle. And that's the beauty of where we're at. We are buying directly from the manufacturer. In other words, we are taking out all the middle people that normally, where there's no salespeople, there's no other commissions. We're giving the discount to the consumer. We're passing on all those savings.
Got it.
That's the beauty of buying directly from the manufacturer.
Got it, because you're the manufacturer. That's what makes sense. Okay, so you've created a special code for me, for my listeners. It's Dishy, D-I-S-H-Y. And if anybody goes to ice.com and they want to purchase something, just because Penny came on the show, he's giving you a 20% discount on any jewelry. So any jewelry that you buy, it doesn't include diamonds because Penny has to sell those at a very, very reasonable price. But nonetheless, you should support someone in our business if you need to buy diamonds. But for jewelry, 20% off, just use Dishy, the code Dishy, on checkout. So thanks for that, Penny. I really appreciate
my
that.
My pleasure,
sweet of you.
Anything.
That's the best discount you give, right? Like that's
100%,
the top one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thank you for that. All right, so we're going to go to break early because I want to come back and really get into what I think is the essence of you and your personal quest. I want to talk to you more about your universal truths and some of the work that you're doing. So let's take a short break to thank our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Listen to Living Green, Effortless Ecology for Everyday People, a weekly online audio program featuring champions of sustainable living. At personallifemedia.com.
We're back. I'm your host, Susan Bratton. You're listening to Dishy Mix, and we're talking to Penny Jinawish. McKinney is the founder of ice.com, but he's a lot more than that. Before you got into the jewelry business, your family's business, Penny, you started out in rabbinical school. You even graduated with a master's in Jewish law from the University of Sydney. So you went all the way around the world to learn Jewish law. I don't really understand what that means. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, in the Bible, in the Torah, there are 613 commandments, and they're very detailed and complicated. And so, in rabbinical school, you study all those laws, and you master them, hopefully, and you get tested on it. And it's similar to going to law school, same concept. And once you master it, you you pass all the tests, they say, okay, you're a rabbi.
So you mean Jews have 603 more commandments than Christians?
Yes.
Man. And
but a lot of them are not applicable today.
Give me an example of one that's lost its usefulness.
Okay, well, there are many laws associated with the temple that was built in Jerusalem, like different sacrifices they brought, different laws for the priests, different things that they did in the temple, so that is not applicable today because the temple does not exist. So most of those laws are gone. And then there are laws that are connected to holidays that we can't do today based on the fact that there's no temple. So there are many, many laws that are connected to those things. But laws that are applicable today that are extra to the Ten Commandments that are universal are laws about charity, different kinds of charity. There are laws about, the Sabbath, resting on the seventh day. Tons of laws connected to that. There are laws onto what kind of food you're allowed to eat, kosher food. So in kosher, there's tons and tons of laws. So when you talk about that, it's very complicated and detailed, and it takes a very long time to get your mind around it.
And really what you're doing is interpreting historical law into modern day applicability for the people that are following you. Is that right?
100%.
Okay. So you started out as a rabbi after you graduated from Sydney University in Australia. You ended up in Hawaii and Hong Kong, and you were a principal of some of the day schools there. What was it like to be this rabbi in Hong Kong? How did that work for you?
It was one of the greatest experiences. I mean, you're in a country where people are walking faster than you come from New York and people walk fast, but in Hong Kong everything is much faster. And you're there as a rabbi where your world is not that fast. So I'd come out of my synagogue and things are moving and you're just so relaxed. And it's kind of an oxymoron. So but most of the people we dealt with were expats that moved to Hong Kong to do business. And so they were looking for a home to call their own. And the community center, the synagogue, that's where so they rely more on you and you utilize your services a lot more based on the fact that they're in a foreign country as well. So when you're dealing with people in a community that is their home, the synagogue is a place you go to one time a year. For most Jews today. But when you're living in Hong Kong, the rabbi plays a much more pivotal role because it brings back more memories of where you come from.
So you really felt like you were integrating into the community more so during that time than maybe some of the things that you do today in relationship with your synagogue in Montreal.
100%.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Now, you've also really done a lot of work with children, with the Boy Scouts. You're very philanthropic. What's the thing that drives you to teach and work with children? And give us maybe three or four examples of things that you've done.
Okay. So first of all, I started an organization. I went to the pulpit rabbi field, and I became part of a synagogue for a year or two, and that wasn't for me. I couldn't deal with the board of directors, the president of the synagogue. It's just not for me to be in that structure. I'm too round to fit in a square peg. them telling you what to do and how to run things, and it's just not for me. So I left the whole structured Jewish rabbinical, and I decided I'm going to, my passion is children. So I decided I'm going to start a children's organization to teach children about Jewish subjects in a very fun and hands-on way. So I started an organization called the Living Legacy. And what we do is we go into public schools, to schools where people don't know anything about Judaism, and we come in during different times of the year with hands-on projects. So, for instance, we just came from the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, where one of the things we do is we blow a ram's horn to bring in the new year.
The Tovar?
And the Shofar.
Shofar, yeah. That's it.
Exactly. You're good. You're on it.
Well, so, I'm trying.
So the Shofar is made from ram's horn. So what I did was we invented this program where we go into the school and we take ram's horns and we make them into shofars. We bring saws and drills and sandpaper and shellac. And the kids, while I'm talking, they are involved in making their own personal shofar. And I have countless stories where parents come up to me and say, you know, we've cherished this shofar because every year, you know, we're not so religious, but when Rosh Hashanah comes, when the new year comes, we take it down from the shelf and we blow it because our kid is so excited about the holiday now, and it's only because he made his own shofar. And I do this, I do 10 programs like this through the year that inspire the kids because they were personally involved.
I love that story. In our plastic wrapped world, in our plastic wrapped culture, to be able to touch the horn of an animal, a living animal, and tie it back to the tradition of the new year has to be an unbelievably powerful moment in a children's life. And I, Penny, I need you to post all those 10 things you do, because I know that every parent who's listening to you, and probably every human who is a child inside, wants to know what the other 9 are. Would you be willing to give them to me to post on the Dishy Mix blog?
100%. No worries.
All right, good. So we're going to post all 10 of the Living Legacy hands-on ideas on the Dishy Mix blog. I love that.
You know, in Montreal, I'm not known as Penny. I'm known as the Matzah Man.
Matzah Man.
Yeah, because what we do before the holiday of Passover is we bake matzahs with the kids.
Yep.
And that's the unleavened bread for the Passover. And so I walk around and kids, you know, Barney has nothing on me, you know. You know, Barney, forget about it. I'm the Matzah Man. I walk in the mall and kids run up to me, "Hey, Matzah Man." And I'm, you know, like, so, and my kids pride themselves with the fact that I'm the Matzah Man.
Well, I've never had homemade matzah. All I've ever had is the, you know, the crackery
machine
stuff.
Exactly. No, you got to taste it.
It has
stuff
to be really good.
I mean, even though we use basic ingredients,
yeah,
but the parents that come and watch the programs, they're like, wow, this is good stuff. And I think it's only because they made it themselves. I don't know.
Yeah. Nice. And do you have your own matzah recipe?
We do.
All right. Are you sharing that too?
Yeah. We actually add, we use white flour, but we add a little bit of whole wheat flour in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 cups of white, half a cup of whole wheat, and you mix it together. You never thought you would get recipes from the rabbi, but yeah, this, and you mix it together, and you have to make sure to bake it at a very high temperature, so it's done in less than 18 minutes, and it comes out really good.
Nice. I love that. You'd be surprised how often on Dishy Mix. Well, Mike Donahue was on recently. He gave us his killer margarita mix. I've had David Smith from Media Smith give us his best Chinese food quickie recipe. So we get a lot of recipes on Dishy Mix.
Good.
So all of this work that you've done has kind of settled in you in a way. When I've been talking to you, you've been writing some things about being present, about flow, about universal truths. You're thinking a lot about the philosophies and religion and how that applies to business. Tell us what your universal truths are that run through your life.
Well, the most important one that I follow, I'm trying to follow, and that I battle with every day is commitment. And today, kids, unfortunately, are not taught enough about being committed to anything.
Yeah.
And what I mean with that is that your attention to detail, that ego is not involved in the process of whatever you're doing. Because once ego is involved, if it's too difficult, your ego says, I don't want to be involved anymore. I'm lazy. I'm this. I want to go do something else. I'm ADD. Whatever it is. And the concept of committing yourself to projects, committing yourself to what you do, committing yourself to anything, especially when we talk about our relationship with our kids, our relationship with our wives, And even more so, you know, we go to work every day, committing ourselves to our workforce and to our customers. Transparency is another very important thing. You know, they talk about a lot now in business that you know, after Enron and all the bad things that were going on there, transparency is so important that your customers, because they are making decisions, because they are pulling the information, and in 1 second they can be on another site, or in 1 second they're on another channel, or they're TiVoing a show and your commercial doesn't exist anymore. So what is this all telling us? This is telling us that we're in a world where everything is shifting, where the authority is not anymore looking down. You know, I love Jerry Seinfeld's little piece on where, you know, he says the guy, the pharmacist, you know, stands over you and looks down, and he says, "How can I help you?" And what is his job? He takes pills from a big bottle and he puts them into a small bottle. And I think that is so hysterical, you know, this authoritative thing that we've built up because of the Industrial Revolution, that there's, you know, we are the authority and we're going to tell you how to do it. That is not happening anymore. There's transparency. If a customer is not happy with your product, within 5 seconds, it's all over the web. And not only if it's all over the web, it, you know, on blogs they're talking about it. You do a search, you mess with a customer, it can destroy your company. So transparency is very important, that if something goes wrong, right away, come up and say, "I did something wrong as a corporation. I did something wrong as a human being. I did something wrong as a husband. I did something wrong as a father. And I'm sorry. How can I make it better?"
So those are it. Those are commitment, being egoless, transparency. And I would make it fourth. I would say letting go of our need for authority or our authoritative nature, which is a part of being egoless and having transparency, but an important equal point.
And it's all because, and the most important thing is lead by example. You cannot live anymore with "because I said so." It doesn't work. It doesn't work as a parent. It doesn't work as a boss. It doesn't work as a husband or as a wife. It doesn't work. There is, you know, now we need reasons and we need examples. People that are going to be examples in the world today, as in any position of authority, are the ones that people are going to love and people are going to stay with. You know, we have a great business here, but the greatness of our business is the people that work for us. And we don't lose any people. We haven't had anybody who actually quit from ICE.com in the 6 or 7 years, because the people running the company, not only me, my brother, who's a great human being, are leading by example. We work hard, we're honest, and, you know, different things that are connected to religion, like on the Sabbath, our business is closed. On holidays, our business is closed, which means we don't take orders, we're not processing anything. So, that, you know, when an employee sees that, there's a level of respect. You know, these people are committed to something, and that makes them a different kind of caliber of human being in today's world.
Nice. Well, Brad Behrens, who was also recently on Dishy Mix, he's the editor of iMedia. He's always bringing great new ideas and books to my attention. And one of the ones that he just brought to my attention today so well fits into everything that you're talking about. It's a new book called How, H-O-W, by a guy named Dov Seidman. And it's essentially teaching you that it's not what you do, but how you do it that sets you apart from the pack, which is exactly what you're saying, Penny. And so I checked it out. It's he offers a leadership framework, which I think will be interesting. And he talks a lot about reputation in a wired world, which you were just hearkening to as well. And I have a new sponsor. They're audible.com. And anybody who's listening to Dishy Mix, I've got all these promo codes today.
Yes.
It's like a new podcasty thing. I'm definitely trying it out. If you go to audiblepodcast.com/Dishy, D-I-S-H-Y, you can get Dove's book summary. There's a SoundView executive book summary that includes Dov Seidman's book called How, and you can download it for free. Audible has a book of the month club, and people who listen to podcasts are the best targets for this. So if you're listening to Dishy Mix and you're on the road, or you're commuting, or you're on the plane all the time, or you're walking your dog and you want to hear something besides Dishy Mix, this might be something you could download. You get a free book when you join the club, and then it's essentially one book every month. So you get a dozen books a year for their program. So I hope you'll try it out. If you go to audiblepodcast.com/dishy, you can get Dove's book summary. And I would love to get Dove on the show, so I'm going to work on that too. And then I think, Penny, you and I both need to read that book because it's we both like talking about the same kind of thing. We're into that. So I want to move over to just some of the crazy, funny, quirky things about you. You are this rabbi, respected guy. You are doing all this philanthropic work. You're doing amazing work with children. You are running ice.com, which is this fabulous business where you totally take care of employees. At the same time, you are a fabulous rollerblader and you go to Beyonce concerts. So many, in fact, that you know Beyonce's mom and dad. Tell us about the silly side of Penny.
Well, fortunately, I grew up with ADD, which is a blessing today, I realize, because I don't live on in the same realm as people where, you know, if you are a certain kind of a person, you fit into a certain structure, and this is how we view you. Fortunately, there's a different side to me, or 5 million different sides to me, that you can't put your finger on. It was funny when I once met a guy, an American living in Korea, and he showed me his wallet. This is the funniest thing. And in his wallet, he had pictures of Saddam Hussein, Khomeini, George Bush, Bill Clinton, and like all these weird pictures of different leaders of the world. So I said, what is this about? He says, if I ever get stopped by the police, they will not know my true intentions. They won't know what I believe in. I mean, he's a little weird, but it was just funny because here you have this guy who thinks about these things. But the point is that, you know, when you see me, I always, you know, last week I was at a conference, and this woman walked into this, you know, dinner, and she was, you know, she was about to sit down, but she saw me, and I walk around with a kippah, and I have a beard, and I don't look like maybe the person you want to sit next to for a dinner.
What's a kippah?
A kippah is the head covering that Orthodox Jews wear.
It's not a yarmulke?
A yarmulke, yeah. It's the same thing.
And you call it a kippah or a yarmulke?
A yarmulke is an abbreviation for two Hebrew words called Yare Malka, which means the fear of the king. Oh. You wear it to show that there's someone above you at all times.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so a kippah means a covering, which is in Hebrew. So she's looking around, and she doesn't find another seat, so she sits down next to me, you know, at the end of the evening, she's like, wow, you're just amazing. This is the greatest dinner I've ever had. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, you saw the cover, right? But and that's why I love that Amazon gives you the ability to look at a book and look at the inside, you know, because, you know, the concept of not judging a book by its cover is so perfect.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, you know, on the other side of the coin, you have Penny, who's a champion rollerblader who taught rollerblading, who gave rollerblading lessons in Central Park for 2 years, who was on a rollerblading video commercial, and then you have Penny who's trying to produce a Broadway play, and then you have Penny who has his sights on creating an animated short film for kids, and you have Penny who does yoga. So you have all these different Pennies who, if you put them in one bag and someone would look at it, they would say, this is an anomaly. This doesn't work in a society that we live in. But I say, you know, this is the greatest gift that I have.
Absolutely. The greatest gift that you have is your variety, your diversity, and your creativity. I see that just coming out of you. And you really, to me, embody the kind of person that is the Dishy Mix perfect guest, because clearly you're great in business. You have a beautiful site with really nice products. You run a tight ship. Your people love you. At the same time, you're crazy rollerblading Penny, yoga doing. Hey, I have a new idea. You could do yoga blading. You could come up with a new, you know, there's all these. I just recently went to this event where they had acro massage. Like, these people spin you around and massage you at the same time. That has only been, that eclipsed what I thought was my latest massage thing, which was Watsu, which is water shiatsu, where the massage therapist gets you in the pool and floats you around and manipulates you. So now acro massage has eclipsed that. So now I'm thinking there's yoga and there's rollerblading and there's all these new kinds of yoga. You could do yoga blading. You could just create a whole new thing. I could see you on your YouTube video doing this, Penny.
You know, it's amazing. You know, when you're talking now, you know, it goes so well with, hopefully, if I eventually write my book. My book is called Mashup Nation.
Okay.
You know, if someone, you know, I have to copyright that now. But
you better.
One plus one equals one, and the concept is, you know, you're taking two things. You know, if you go deep into your creativity and you try to find things inside of you and follow your gut and get out of your own way, you can come up just by being present with these great ideas. You know, yoga blading, right? You're taking one and one, and you're making one, and it doesn't come out to a, you know, it's not a separate thing. It equals one, and I think real creativity today, as we see it, is taking two things that exist already and creating a third thing, which is really one.
It's definitely one of the ways that we're approaching creativity. I'm a student of creativity. I feel the most proud of myself in my moments of creativity, when I can problem solve, when I can innovate, when I can create. I just love that. I mean, I don't think there's any better moments in my life than those moments when I feel like, oh, that was creative. Good for you, girl. So I love creativity. I've launched a show on my network, Personal Life Media, called The Joy of Living Creatively with Dr. Eric Maisel. He's a creative coach, and I heard him on NPR, and I called him up, and I said, hey, have you ever thought about doing a weekly podcast on creativity? He's written like 30 books on creativity.
Wow.
And so he does this show every week where it's just short, like 8 minutes, one thing to think about, to take your, you know, to expand your native creativity. And you're like that. You live that creativity. What one tip? I always like to get like one thing at the end of the show that is something that people can find inspirational. So I'm putting you on the spot here. I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this. I never know what that last thing's going to be, but you can handle it. Tell us something about how you evoke your native creativity that we might learn from.
Okay, that's a challenge. When I'm the most present, in other words, when I'm at a moment where I'm really there and there's nothing else going on, but I'm committed to a moment. I'll tell you a cute story. I was once putting my daughter to sleep. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, and my wife kicks me and she says, "It's your turn to get up." My baby was maybe 7 or 8 months old. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do this. And I get out of bed and I pick her up out of her crib, and she's just not stopping to cry. And I realize as I'm standing there that she's not stopping to cry because you're not there. You're not there for her. Mm. You're not committed to the moment. You're not present. So creatively, I stopped and I said, I'm going to commit to you this moment. And I made that commitment in my head. And within 3 seconds, she relaxed and she fell back asleep. And I learned this, such an important lesson then, that if you want to be creative, right, you need to be committed to that project, to that moment, to that situation. And the more you can accustom yourself to do that, where you're egoless and you're just there for that situation, the more opportunity you'll have to feeling those moments that you love, Susan. I cherish those moments. When I got out of my own way, I'm saying, how can I have more moments like that? How can I live my whole life where I'm getting out of my own way? That my creativity, the flow of energy, is just penetrating and I'm just the funnel. And I take credit for it, but it doesn't go to my head so that the next time I can have another moment like that.
So that is absolutely beautiful. And how do you get present? What do you do to get present?
Well, there's a few things. First of all, I pray every morning. And that gives me a perspective for the day. So, some people meditate. I just met this girl from Australia. She meditates every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult some days where you're tired and you're groggy, but you need to create that system where you're doing it consistently, where your body knows that there's 10 minutes a day when you're pushing everything else out and you're just focusing on being peaceful and allowing yourself those few moments of joy. And then throughout the day, I try to stop and appreciate everything around me. And I think that's so important. The guy who opened the door for you, and that's his job. But just, last night I was in Vegas, and we were all driven by this bus driver from one place to a cocktail party. And I'm sitting there, and everybody walks out, and no one says anything to the driver. And I stopped, and there were people behind me. I stopped, I looked at him, and he turned around, and I said, "Excuse me, sir, thank you so much for driving us." And he said, his eyes lit up, his body, all the energies just suddenly started to radiate, and it's like, thank you very much. He was like, and then I needed to go somewhere because I wasn't happy. I wanted to go back to my hotel. And he says, you know what? I'll take you alone. But, you know, it's moments like that where people who we think are there to serve us, if we notice the beauty around us, you're standing by a traffic light, and you see everybody's nervous in New York City. They need to cross the street. They're looking at their watches. There's such beauty around you. There are people to look out. You know, I can be at the traffic light. You can be at the traffic light. Your mind is totally not in the present moment. There's no creativity happening. And I could come up with this great idea because I was there.
Mm, nice. All right. We are going to make the commitment today to be there. Just for a moment. And remember what that feels like, because I know how good that feels. And one of the things that I like about being with you in the process of these interviews is that I get to be totally tuned into you for a half an hour. And I hope that everyone else has enjoyed being tuned into you too, Penny.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Meeting you, not personally yet, but one day we will.
Yeah.
And just getting a taste of your energy has been inspirational for me. So thank you so much.
Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you. And thank you for the gift of the discount on ice.com. I want to let everybody remember they can take advantage of that, which is really good. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. You go to ice.com and you use coupon code DISHY, D-I-S-H-Y. All right. So we will do text and transcripts of this full interview. I also promise you I'll print those 10 living legacy ideas for children. I think we could apply those to any belief, so any religion. So I promise I'll put that from Penny on the Dishy Mix blog. And I look forward to talking to you next week. I hope you had a great time learning about somebody really amazing in our industry. And have a great day. This is your host, Susan Bratton.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.